Right, morning, everyone. Today's daf in Moikan, daf Chav Dalad. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zechon Ishmael Solos Lupin Zalsman. We are on the very top of the Amun Chav Dalad, Amun Aleph, and we're starting with the words Baimene Rabbi Yochanan Mishmol in the middle of the third parak of Moikan. We're discussing Hilchas Avelos, and we're discussing Avelos on Shabbos. It's the second round of Avelos B'Shabbos. Yesterday's daf Chav Gimel already had a first round of discussing Avelos B'Shabbos. The question of yesterday's Gemara, which will be repeated today, is on Shabbos. We know that the person cannot observe Avelos on Shabbos. Shabbos is not a time of Avelos. If you remember the language of the Mishnah that was used all the way back when describing what happens for the Avel on Shabbos, every Avelos is going to have Shabbos. Every Avelos is 7 days. So you're going to, the Avel is undoubtedly going to fall into Shabbos. So at what point? So what happens on Shabbos? So it's Monaveinu Mafsik. If you remember the language of the Mishnah, some say Ola. Let me say it more accurately. Olaveinu Mafsik. It counts, and it's not going to stop your Avelos. So in other words, it counts as one of the days of Avelos. What exactly is the practice? What's the Nihug of Avelos on Shabbos? That was yesterday's discussion. And as Tosfos points out yesterday, the only discussion was Dvarim Shebitzina. Right? The way the Gemara phrased the question yesterday is Yesh Avelos B'Shabbos or Einu Avelos B'Shabbos. Is there or is there not Avelos B'Shabbos? Certainly it counts. But the question is there or is there not Avelos B'Shabbos? If you remember Tosfos yesterday, the way he framed the question, it's only Dvarim Shebitzina. The Gemara was only entertaining the idea that there obviously is no public signs, no public demonstration of Avelos. The only question is whether or not there's private demonstrations or not. So this is now round two. All right, Hakafa Beis, if you will, on this discussion of Avelos and Shabbos. Bamini Rav Yochanan Mishmol. So Rav Yochanan asked the following question from Shmuel. Now, just as an interesting aside, Rav Yochanan and Shmuel probably did not have a conversation between the two of them. Rav Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. Now, historically, they may have lived at the very same period, meaning they were both early Amoraim, right? Shmuel was the first generation Amor. Shmuel was in line with Rav and with Levi. So the idea that they lived historically at the same time is totally within the realm of possibility, in fact, probably. But the idea that they actually conversed to one another, Rav Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Rav, as we know, shuttled back and forth. Rav, who was a contemporary to Rav Yochanan and to Shmuel, so he started life in Eretz Yisrael, and he went to Bavel, and he went back to Eretz Yisrael at one point in time. So, okay, so that the... But Shmuel, probably not. So anyway, okay. Agreed. Just, you know, sometimes I like to think about, you know, who we're talking about. So, by me, Rav Yochanan Mishmol. So Rav Yochanan asked the following question from Shmuel. Yesh Avelos B'Shabbos, or ain't Avelos B'Shabbos? Is there or is there not Avelos B'Shabbos? Amar lei, ain't Avelos B'Shabbos. So the answer that he gives is that there is no Avelos on Shabbos. Okay? Tosfos points out Rav Yochanan didn't accept this answer. Shmuel. Yeah. You want to know Shmuel's opinion. But Tosfos says that Rav Yochanan didn't accept the answer. If you go back to yesterday's daf, and we're going to see it again in today's daf as well. So although Shmuel's of the opinion that there's no Avelos on Shabbos, which means even Dvarim Shebitzina, but Rav Yochanan says that there is Avelos on Shabbos, even Dvarim Shebitzina. Follow up with a couple of statements. Yasvi Rabban and Kamed Rav Papa, the Kamed Mishmed Shmuel. So they made the following statement in the name of Shmuel. Now remember, Shmuel was just the one who said that there's no Avelos on Shabbos, and that includes even Dvarim Shebitzina. So the statement now is not going to sound, it's not going to sound correct. The statement goes like this. Aval Shashim Shmitasu Bimei Avlo Chayav Misa. That an Aval who engages in marital relations during his Avelos is Chayav Misa. Okay. Now, during his Avelos, now, as pointed out by a number of people, including Rabbi Kiva Eger right here on the Daf, in other words, during the week already, during his week of Avelos, we already know that he can't engage in marital relations. That we saw that back in the Mishnah. That's a Braisa. We saw the Braisa yesterday's Daf. What we mean is on Shabbos, meaning on Shabbos itself. So if an Aval engages in marital relations on Shabbos, so Chayav Misa. The word Chayav Misa obviously is very strong. In other words, when the Gemara here is describing it now as a capital crime, capital punishment, okay, it's not mentioned in the Torah. It's not even mentioned in the Mishnah that this is a capital crime. Misa over here could be just a strong language employed by the Gemara, simply meaning it's right. But misa obviously is a strange. And misa b'dei shamayim also. But again, yes. I mean, I'm going to agree with you. But misa b'dei shamayim, right? Generally speaking, that also is categorized and put into a certain framework. Okay. Anyway, suffice to say, it's totally inappropriate. It's wrong. So Amalei Rav Papa Asar Itmar or Mishmei Rav Yochanan Itmar. So Rav Papa says, allow me to make two corrections. Number one, this language of Misa, it's not the language to use. Let's use the language of Asar. It's forbidden. And also, you're calling the name of Shmuel. That's also wrong. Shmuel didn't say that. Remember, Shmuel was just the one who said that there's no Avelis on Shabbos. No Avelis means not even Dvarim Shabbat Zina. So an Avel, according to Shmuel, is allowed to have relations with his wife during his Avelis on Shabbos. So what it means over here is, not means, but we're going to have change, is not Shmuel, but rather Rav Yochanan. Because Rav Yochanan, as I just pointed out, Tosfos points out, Rav Yochanan does not accept the answer of Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan says that there is a Avelis Shabbat Zina on Shabbos. V'yishmilechu mishmei d'shmuel, achi shmilechu. You want a statement in the name of Shmuel? Okay, I'll give you one. So Amrav Tachlifa Barvim Amashmol Alva Shalaparvish Lopirim Chayv Misa. Okay, here's a strong statement where the result is a Chayv Misa in the name of Shmuel, and that is that if an Aval does not let his hair grow and does not tear his clothing, so then he's going to be Chayv Misa. Again, the language over here of Chayv Misa, such a strong language. Back to the Gemara. Shenemar Roshechem Al Tifro Uvigdechem Lo Sifromo. Okay, the Velo Samusim. Okay, Pesukim regarding Bnei Aaron. Now, Bnei Aaron were not allowed to exhibit signs of Avelos. Right, so for them the instruction was your heads Al Tifro. Don't let your hair grow. And Vigdechem Lo Sifromo. And don't tear Kriya. Okay, so they were told not to observe Avelos. What does that mean? The deek is very simple. Ha'acher shlopar v'shlopir chayv misa. Meaning that then the inference is very simple. For the rest of us who do have to exhibit signs of Avelus, so we need to tear our clothing, we need to let our hair grow, in other words, we can't get haircuts, and if the result, if we don't, is a chiv misa. Again, misa over here, obviously a very strong language, misa b'day shamayim, maybe it's just an asmachta. In other words, it's simply put, it's wrong. So, and that's the statement that you can make in the name of Shmuel, and again, having nothing to do with Tashmi Shemitah and Shabbos, Shmuel would allow it. Rav Yochanan is the one who forbids it. Good. I'm Rav Mabar Papa Tanab Evo Rabasi. We learned the following in Masechta Evo Rabasi. Evo Rabasi Rashi over here says, is a reference to one of the smaller Masechtos. Right? There is a series of very small Masechtos. We don't do in the Daf Yomi. It's not part of the Daf Yomi cycle. It's out of the back of the Gemara. And Masechta Kala, Masechta Evo Rabasi, or Rashi points out, it goes by the name of Smachos. Right? Masechta Smachos. Right, which is euphemism, meaning in other words, it's called the Masechta of Happiness, but it's euphemism. It means it's about Avelos. So Tana Beivor Rabbas, we learn the following: Avol Asal Shamish Mitasu Bimei Avlo. An Avol is forbidden from engaging in marital relations during his Avelos. Umaisa Bechas Shishimish Mitasu Bimei Avlo. And then the Brisa continues that one did it. Vishamtu Chazir Nes Kviyasal, and the Chazir and the pigs disfigured him. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi gives two pshatim, gviyaso kol gufo, meaning the pigs basically consumed his entire body, v'ikadami eivr shalo, or that which he sinned with, so that's what the pigs went after. Amr Shmuel, pachas chova neta rishus. So now Shmuel is going to make six statements. We're going to divide into two sets of three, where certain things on Shabbos for the Avel is an obligation, and certain things are optional. So let's go. Pachas Chov and Neter Rishus. So we're going to go through each one of the six. So the first three is Pachas, which stands for Priyas Rosh, Chazaras Kera, Lacharav, and Zekifas Amita. Again, on Shabbos, Shmuel says, remember Shmuel was the most lenient opinion. Shmuel says, Ein Avelis for Shabbos, there's no Avelis on Shabbos. Which now means that you cannot exhibit public acts of Avelis, and even private acts of Avelis are not enforced on Shabbos. So, but what Shmuel is now going to do is he's going to divide six of these actions into two categories. Category number one is chova, an obligation, meaning you simply have to change your manner. So even though you're an avel, priyas harosh, you have to uncover your head. We'll talk more about this later this morning. The avel what was called atifas harosh. Again, we don't have this minhag nowadays. Bizmaninu nowadays, we don't do atifas harosh. But in the old days, when you were an avel, so you took the talis and you put it not on your head, you put it over your head. We'll talk about, the Gemara is going to give us detail later on. You put it over your face. You cover basically most of your face with the talis. Like the Arabs, that's not, the Gemara is going to use that language later on. So that's what's called Priyas HaRosh. I'm sorry, that's Atifas HaRosh. So what Shmuel's saying is that, number one, on Shabbos, you have to be Porei HaRosh, meaning that it is a clear sign of avelus when you are covering your entire face with a talus. So what do you do on Shabbos? Uncover your face. And that's required. Two, Chazar Shkar L'Chorav. Your bag is torn. Now, I know nowadays we have clothing for Shabbos, right? We're really modern. We're fancy people. But back then, you had a clothing. So what happens now on Shabbos? So you got to take the clothing and turn it to the back so that it's not evident that your clothing is torn. And Zekifa Samita, and unturning your bed, meaning, again, this is another action that we don't do bizmanenu during our avelos, but they took the beds and they turned the beds upside down. So on Shabbos, you got to turn the bed right side up, again, not an outward display of avelos. It is interesting.
Samita is a katsina, though.
I would have made that argument. Had it not been for the Gemara, I would have said that's the Darvish of Tzina. Shmuel clearly of the opinion it's not. Mm-hmm. Shmuel says Chova, meaning that he has to take his bed and turn it right side up. People will see. I would have said like you. What do you mean people will see?
Because Shmuel even to say that Tzina,
I understand that. No, but so the first three. But the first three are Befarhesia. It's the next three which are going to be Dvarim Shabbat Sinah. All right. Anyway.
So you just threw it on Shabbos and then you turn it back.
And then right after Shabbos you turn it back over. So Chova. So those things are obligatory. But wearing leather shoes, interesting. The Gemara is working with the assumption that not everybody wears leather shoes. So if you, the Aval on Shabbos, choose, you know what, I'm an Aval. I'm not allowed to wear leather shoes, but it's Shabbos. You don't have to wear leather shoes. As the Gemara will explain in just a moment, many people go outside without shoes. Okay, obviously nowadays the minhag has changed. Everyone wears leather shoes. I'll come back to discuss that in just a moment. But anyway, leather shoes you don't have to wear on Shabbos, even the Aval. Two, Tashmish Amita. Now, it's reshus, it's optional. Meaning, again, this is Shmuel, remember. This is Shmuel who holds that there's no avails on Shabbos, which means that an Aval can engage in Tashmish Amita, doesn't have to. Okay, that's the reshus. But again, that's because this is Shmuel L'shitaso. And finally, Rechitzas Yadayim Raglayim B'chamim Arvis Rishos. Washing your hands, feet, and face with hot water. Now, again, we're talking about Shabbos. So, using hot water. Now, we know that there's a rabbinic ban of bathing in hot water on Shabbos, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. So, what the Gemara here must be talking about is, the Gemara says it. I don't have to conjecture. What the Gemara here is talking about is only washing limbs of your body. Limbs of your body with water that was heated before Shabbos, that's okay. The ban is only washing your entire body in hot water, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. Ad kan divrei Shmuel. So basically, it's three and three. Three things that you have to change on Shabbos because it's public. Three things where, it's an option. Now, Rav Amar Av Priyas HaRosh Rishos. Rav says, Priyas HaRosh is also optional. Ukshmil Maishna and Ilas Asa. Meaning, according to Rav, Atifas HaRosh is not is not necessary. We're going to discuss that also in just a moment. And the Gemara here spells out, why is it that, according to Shmuel, the Aval doesn't have to wear leather shoes? Isn't that a clear indication that he's an Aval if he's not wearing leather shoes? The Gemara says, no, it's not. Because many people go outside on Shabbos not wearing shoes at all, not wearing leather shoes. And so therefore, if the Aval chooses not to wear leather shoes, that's not a clear indication that he's an Aval, and that's why Shmuel puts that under the category of Rishos. You don't have to put on your leather shoes on Shabbos. What about nowadays? So the Rush points out, the Rush in the back of our Gemara, so the Rush says that nowadays everybody wears leather shoes. The Aval on Shabbos has to put on leather shoes. Meaning not wearing leather shoes would be an outward sign of avelus. We don't do that on Shabbos. And so therefore the Rush writes, Bizmanenu nowadays, so the Aval on Shabbos puts on leather shoes. Unlike what the Gemara concludes over here, where it's optional. Okay. Priyas HaRosh Nami Lav Kulei Ami Avida Demigla Rishayu. So the Gemara says, what about Priyas HaRosh? Meaning the exposing of the head. So the Gemara says, not everyone exposes their head. Shmuel Atamid Amr Shmuel Kol Kerish Enu B'Shat Chima Mam Enu Kera. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Shmuel's consistent because Shmuel's of the opinion that in order for the kriya to be a proper kriya, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kriya, it has to be b'shas chimam at the time when you are in the most intense pain. And statement number two, and if the atifa is not done like the Yishmaelim, that's not considered atifa. So therefore, Shmuel's of the opinion that, no, I disagree. Everyone does atifa sarosh. It's a requirement. When you put on your talis, you must do atifa sarosh, and specifically, like the Yishmaelim. And so therefore, Shmuel, because of that position, is of the opinion that that the Avel is going to do atifa sarosh. And therefore, on Shabbos, in order not to have an outward demonstration of Avelus, he must be Megala. He must, as a Chova, he must take the Atif off of his Rosh, otherwise it would be clear indication that he is in mourning. Machve Rav Nachman ad gube didikna. Rav Nachman says, do you know what Atifas Rosh means? It means covering your face up until what point in time? Up until basically the dimples in your beard. The word zikana in the Aramaic, the dal and zayin are interchangeable. Zikan, it's basically until the dimples in your beard. Now, not totally clear, we're going from the top down, we're going from the bottom up, but you, right, from the top down, it's a little bit strange because then it obstructs your vision. From the bottom, whatever, whichever way we're going. I'm not, but in other words, you have to do a full covering, including covering of the face, a partial covering of the face. That is Shmuel, that is Rav Nachman. So we don't do Atifas Harosh when it comes to Avelus. It's not done anymore. Some people say that what you should do is you should take the hat and you should lower the hat, the rim of the hat a little bit down. That's, you know, in communities where they wear hats. Okay, but in other words, but we don't do Atifas Harosh. But where does this halacha come into play? Every day when a man puts on a talis. Man puts on a talis, so the bracha is Lisatev Batzitzis. We're going to wrap ourselves up in tzitzis, which means that we're going to take the talis and we're going to do an Atifa. So when at least when making the bracha, when we have the talis on, so sometimes our head is covered, sometimes our head's not covered. But at least when making the bracha on the talis, so we should do atifa. So what exactly does that mean? So what we just saw in the Gemara is, it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel was of the opinion that when you're doing atifa, if it's eino atifas rosh, I'm sorry, if it's eino atifas Yishmaelim, it's therefore not considered an atifa. And therefore, according to Shmuel, it's no good. So that means that according to Shmuel, when you put on the talis and you make the bracha over the talis, so you have to do a full atifa katifa shishmaelim, which means that not just the talis on the head, but over the face, and wrapping yourself up, including your face. That is according to Shmuel. According to Rav, on the other hand, no, it's not necessary, because there's no, the atifa does not require you to do a ki yishmaelim like the yishmaelim. So we have a basic machlokas over here between Rav and Shmuel. Look at the third Tosfos on the Amud. Tosfos writes, "So Shmuel Tamei Perish B'Tosefta Rav De Rav Savad Atifa Zarosh Sheinu Katifa Yeshmam Have Atifa." So Rav is of the opinion. Tosfos points out that he disagrees with Shmuel that in order to satisfy this requirement of Atifa, it does not have to be Ke Atifas Yishma'elim, and so therefore it doesn't need to cover your face at least when you put it on for the first time making the bracha. O mistama Rav Shmuel Halacha Karav, and Tosfos over here paskins, and the psak of Tosfos sounds very logical, because generally speaking, when we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, who do we follow like? So Halacha Karav be Isser, and Halacha Kishmuel be Mammon. When it comes to monetary law, the Halacha falls like Shmuel. When it comes to Isser Vehetor, the Halacha falls like Rav. So Tosfos over here writes that the halacha is going to fall like Rav. So when you put it on the talis, it doesn't have to be katifas yishma'ilim. This is a major machlokas amongst this machlokas. It's such an old machlokas. I mean, it's machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Let's start there. But in terms of the halacha, so many opinions. The Shulchan Aruch goes like Shmuel. Interestingly enough, Shulchan Aruch says that when you put on the talis, you have to do it katifas yishma'ilim. And that means that you have to cover not only your head when you make the bracha on the talis, but you have to cover your face as well with the talis. So the major debate whether or not you have to do atifas yishma'ilim. Back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, lo shanu ela she'ein lo minalayim beraglo, aval yesh lo minalayim beraglo, minalayim mochichen alav, mochichen alav. Again, we just saw a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel on Shabbos. Do I have to uncover my head or do I not have to uncover my head? So Shmuel's of the opinion that you have to uncover your head. Again, Shmuel's consistent because Shmuel says that generally speaking, Atifa means Atifas Yishma'ilim. So to show that you are not to make an outward demonstration of Avelus on Shabbos, you have to uncover your head. The Gemara gives a mitigating factor, and that is that if you're wearing shoes, then you don't have to uncover your head. Because if you're wearing shoes, that offsets the idea that you are showing signs of avelus. So on Shabbos, again, we don't practice the atifas arosh, but just in concept, we understand. On Shabbos, if you're going out with other shoes, then you can leave your head covered. Okay. The other statement to Shmuel was is that in order for Kriya to be a proper Kriya, to fulfill the mitzvah, you have to do it b'shas chimum, at the time when you're in the most intense pain. Okay, there are different menhagim exactly when Kriya is done. Some do it before the eulogy, some do it at the Kvura. Okay, various menhagim. In the meantime, however, we're just gonna deal with the Gemara, and the Gemara says that it has to be at the most intense point. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we see otherwise. Shmuel was told about the death of Rav. Okay, Rav died prior to Shmuel. Remember Rav Yehuda? We see him all the time in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda first learned by Rav, and then upon the death of Rav, so then he went to go learn by Shmuel. Okay, so Shmuel outlived Rav. Here the Gemara tells us that when Shmuel learned about the death of Rav, Kara la treis amane. So he tore 12 of his clothing, meaning for him it was painful. But mind you, however, this is well after Rav actually died, so it's hard to call the shas chimun. This is not an intense time of loss. Now you could argue that okay, that may be true, but this is the first time Shmuel's hearing about it. So for Shmuel's intense, but the Gemara assumes right now this is not the most intense time. And Amar. Shmuel's response when he heard about Rav's death is, somebody died who I'm very scared of. Meaning I'm intimidated, right? Shmuel says regarding Rav. I'm intimidated by Rav. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi gives a one-word comment, and Rashi says, b'kushyot. Meaning that when I would give a shiur, and if Rav was ever there at the shiur, he would ask me questions, And I was schwitzing, right? I was scared of him, and he's saying that as a positive thing, meaning I miss him. And Amar le Rav Yochanan nachta shel Rabbi Chanina. And the Gemara tells another incident where Rav Yochanan learns about the death of Rabbi Chanina, and Kara la Tleisar Itzdalei Milsa, and he tore 13 of his garments. So again, the idea that you know they lost a colleague. One that they were close with, and they hear about it, and even though they hear about it later, much later, still they do Kriya. Now, but what the Gemara is bothered by is, how does that conform to the statement of Shmuel? Shmuel says, in order for Kriya to be a valid Kriya, it has to be done Bishas Chima. So probably you guess the answer, and the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan says the same thing about Rabbi Chanina. I'm scared of him. I miss him. He was a dear colleague, and he did Kriya. So the Gemara says, "Shani Rabbanan dekev v'dechoshay the mitkrei shematayu b'shas kishas chimam dami." And so the Gemara's answer is, "It is shas chimam." The Tamid Chachamim. So they say over each other's Torah, and saying over each other's Torah, it's fresh. It's like right in their mind. And so when Shmuel learns about the death of Rav, when Rav Yochanan learns about the death of Rabbi Chanina, it is kishas chimam. It is an intense time. Even though the death may have occurred earlier.
I'm not understanding the question. I mean, for him, it was like a dead man.
I hear you.
It sounds like a shas chimum is for the dead, not for the person.
But look, I do hear you, but if we could just argue the other side for just a moment. We said that Shmuel Rechoka, you're not novel. You don't sit Shiva. Now, Shmuel Rechoka, what do you mean? For you, so you're hearing this for the first time. So you would say that it's... Right, correct. But in other words, the death is not fresh, and even though you're hearing it for the first time, but it's not the same intensity. Again, I'm not speaking emotionally. I'm speaking just from a halachic standpoint. Amar Tamidecha Rav Amram. Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Ava kol shiva kor olaf anavi imbala achlev machlev o korea. So the Ava of the entire week of is avails kor olaf anav. So you tear kriya, right? I know that's redundant, but that's just simply how we talk. So you tear kriya, and you have it in front of you. Meaning, with exception to Shabbos, where we said you have to turn it to the back, but you have it in front of you. And if you are going to change your clothing during shiva, an interesting halacha. So what do you have to do with the new clothing that you put on? You got to tear kriya on that clothing as well. The kriya. V'Shabbos Korah La'acharav. Now, Shabbos, you turn the kriya to the back. V'Imbalachlef Machlev Eino Koreah. Now, if you change on Shabbos, so you can change on Shabbos, and there's no requirement to do kriya on Shabbos. Sorry for the fact that there's also malacha issues as well. But anyway, but there's no kriya requirement for clothing that you're wearing specifically for Shabbos. So, if you're putting it on for Shabbos, I don't know. I don't know. So now again, what's bothering the Gemara now is how does this conform to the same to Shmuel? Shmuel says that a kriya has to be b'shas chimum. We're not b'shas chimum. We are day two, day three, day four, whatever. We're later in the avelos. So the Gemara says kitanyi b'kavod avi v'imo. So the Gemara says you're right. We're not describing a shar krovim. The other relatives, meaning other than your mother and your father. For anyone other than your mother and your father, there's no requirement to do kriya again on another garment. You did kriya once, that's it. But for mother and father, during avelos, when you're putting on another garment, so out of respect for your mother and your father to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud av v'im, so you're going to do kriya on this next garment. Also, crying.
Excuse me, when I said before that 12th garment, 13th garment, were they wearing 12?
Presumably.
Presumably, yeah. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
That's a lot of layers to wear, I understand. Osam karay mitachin o in mitachin. Okay, can you stitch up these tears or not stitch up these tears? Now, let's remember, we saw this a couple days ago in the daf. We said that for the kriya that you do for one's mother and one's father, so there you never stitch it up. Out of respect for your mother and your father, so you tear it, you could patch it back together again after 30 days, well, that was the Gemara earlier, but you can never stitch it up again out of respect for your mother and your father. What the Gemara is now asking is not on the original kriya. On the original kriya, we already talked about. We're talking about on these additional kriyas that you did. Meaning that the Gemara just recorded the halacha. That if you put on a new clothing during avelos, and the avelos is either for mother or for father, so then you have to do another kriya. On this secondary kriya that you've done, out of respect for your parents, can you stitch that up? So please give avud the Rabbi Yoshio bar kapar charamayim mandachim v'charamayim mitachin. So the Gemara brings down to machlokas and machlokas samarayim. Tistan davud the Rabbi Yoshio damayim mitachin. It makes sense that Rabbi Yoshio is of the opinion that you cannot stitch it up. Damar Rabbi Yoshio in mitachin. The Rabbi Yoshio says that you're not allowed to stitch it up. Mimash mealei la meavua. So presumably heard it from his father. Okay, that would make most sense, that he learned by his father, he heard it from his father. So lo mi bar kapar rabbi shmealei. The Gemara says it's not Mochrach. You don't have to say that. You could say that he learned it from his Rebbe Bar Kapara. And so therefore, we know it's Machlokas Amarayim, but we still don't know who said which position. Amarava Ava Mataya Be'umkala B'soch Beso. And Ava can walk around in his house on Shabbos Be'umkali, the garment that he tore. And even though it's Shabbos, and even though Dvar Bishop of Arhesia is prohibited, you cannot do outward demonstrations of avelos. But the Gemara says, this is right, he's in his house, it's private. And therefore he can walk around with it on Shabbos. Abaye Shkechila Rav Yosef de Persle, Sudra Aresha, V'azav Asa Bebeise. Abaye finds his Rebbe Rav Yosef, who was walking around on Shabbos during his week of avelos. During his week of avelos, on the Shabbos of the week of avelos, he was walking around with his head covered. With his head covered because of the mitzvah of Atifa. Atifa Zarosh. And so he was doing Atifa on Shabbos. Now remember, going back to the beginning of today's daf, Shmuel says you must uncover it. But and so it bothered Abaye that he's watching his Rebbe Rav Yosef on Shabbos going around with his head covered. Again, head covered meaning through the mechanism of Atifa. Amalei lav sav lamar ein avelos b'Shabbos. So don't you hold that there's no avelos on Shabbos, meaning Shmuel's statement? Amalei hachem Rav Yochanan. He says, no, I don't know. Dvarim shebitzina, no. I don't hold like Shmuel, I hold like Rav Yochanan. And we're knowing Dvarim shebitzina. Okay. And take a look at Tosfos. Divra maskal hachem Rav Yochanan, Dvarim shebitzina, no. Pasuk ba'alachas gedolos, so Tosfos quotes the alachas gedolos, ki Rav Yochanan, that the alach in fact falls like Rav Yochanan. La fuke me Rav Shmuel, dam la'el, tashmi shamita rishos. And this is not like the position of Shmuel, where Shmuel says Dvarim Shebitzina is acceptable on Shabbos, and Shmuel said earlier that an Ava could even engage in Tashmish Shemita on the Shabbos of Avelos, but Lachos Gedol says we don't pasken like Shmuel, we pasken like Rav Yochanan. Now, Shabbatina who prepare comment to Ksuvas Nami de Kamar Allah Misael or Rav Yochanan Dabai Barav Savakavasei. The Afagav de Kaimalan. Look at the next part of Tosfos. I mentioned this Tosfos already a number of times earlier, but here it is. Tosfos is bothered by a very simple question. So let's take an accounting now. We have a debate between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan about this issue of Dvarim Shabbatin on Shabbos. So basically, we're all having a machlokas in Hilchos Avelos. Generally speaking, what do we do on a machlokas in Hilchos Avelos? So the halachas kedivrei hamekel. Shmuel said that time and again, that whenever you have a machlokas in Hilchos Avelos, halachas kedivrei hamekel. And even if it's one against many, we're going to follow the one opinion against many. So Tosfos is bothered by the fact that over here on this issue, we have a machlokas, Dvarim Shabbatin on Shabbos. So why are we taking the more strict position of Rav Yochanan over that of Shmuel? Tosfos writes, and even the Afag of the Kamalan Halacha Kedivrei Hamekel Hanimil Bamachlokas Shel Tanayim, Aval B'Milsa De Amarai Lo Amran Lo Amaran. So Tosfos says a Yesod that this statement of Shmuel that we're always going to follow the lenient opinion. The word always, we're going to modify the word always. On a Machlokas Tanayim, we're going to follow the more lenient opinion. But post Tanayim, Amoraim and beyond, we're not necessarily going to follow the more lenient position. We're not bound to follow the more lenient position. So here's a perfect example. Dvarim Shabbatin on Shabbos, it's not a machlokas tanaim, it's a machlokas amoraim. So Tosfos says, so we're not bound to go with the more lenient position. So over here we're going to go like Rav Yochanan over that of Shmuel. Okay.
But the thing is that this was not an issue among your client.
No. I mean, was
the
issue...
What they did?
I can't tell you, meaning I don't know. The Gemara only records Shmuel and Rav Yochanan on the matter. Continuing the Gemara, Rav Elazar Amar B'Shachar Beis HaMikdash Atzeres K'Shabbos. Remember, we had a discussion earlier about Yontav breaking Avelos. This takes us all the way back to the Mishnah. I know it's been some time since we saw the Mishnah. But the issue of Yontav breaking Avelos, so we said that for Sukkot, for Pesach, it's a no-brainer. Yontif is going to break Avelos. Why? Because Sukkot is a 7-day/8-day event. And Pesach is a 7/8-day... I say /8 because I'm thinking Golos. But Pesach is a 7-day event. So there, it's going to break Avelos because it's obviously going to encroach on the Avelos, wherever you are in the Avelos. It's not going to be more than 6 days remaining.
Okay.
Shloshim is its own discussion, which actually we're going to have later this morning. But Yontif is going to break Avelos. What about Shavuos? Shavuos is only a 1-day event. So is Shavuos going to break Avelos? So if I can remind you what we saw back in the Mishnah, all the way back in Yetzer Shemad Aleph. So it was a machlokas. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so Shavuos... was, even though it was a 1-day Yontif, it was a 7-day event. Because you had Yemei Tashlumim. If you didn't bring your Karban Chagiga on the day of Shavuos itself, so Chogig Va'olech, you can do it for the remainder of the week, even though Yontif was only about 1 day. So what one position was back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, give proper credit. So what Rabbi Eliezer said back in the Mishnah is that Atzeres, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, was a Yontif, which breaks Avelos, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and we no longer have Tashlomim, so Shavuos is like Shabbos, which means that it's not going to break Avelos. Okay. And then the Mishnah records the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel says that Shavuos is like... Yom Kippur, Kiragam, I'm sorry. Rabbi Gamliel says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are like Shabbos. Rabbi Gamliel says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is like Yontif. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to rule. Amr of Gidol Bar Menashe, Amr Shmuel Halacha Kerem and Gamliel. The Halacha falls like Rav and Gamliel. That Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is like a Yontif vis-a-vis Avelos. So if someone's an Avel, 3 days, 2 days, 1 day, a moment he starts his Avelos before Rosh Hashanah, so Rosh Hashanah will break, as would Yom Kippur. The Igad Amasni Lahad Rav Gidol Bar Menashe Aha. Now some say that this statement where he rules like Rav and Gamliel is not going like on our Mishnah, but rather going on a totally different issue. Once again, now we're going to be quoting Smachos, Masechta Smachos, again today. Kol Lama Yom Tino Gyozik Bechek V'Nikvar V'Isha Achas V'Shtei Anashim. The Gemara over here, this extraordinarily sad Raisa, where the Raisa discusses the burial of an infant. So an infant during the first, if Rachmanos son, God forbid, the infant dies within the first 30 days of life, so he's buried, but Bechek. Bechek literally means in the lap, meaning not a coffin. Right, don't bury the baby in the coffin, and it's a very private ceremony in terms of the burial. Isha achas u'shnei anashim. It's buried with one woman and two men. Okay, it just simply means it's a very private affair. Avalo b'isha achas u'shnei anashim, but not one man and two women, because you have to keep in mind the halachas of yichud. One man cannot seclude himself with two women. Abishal omer af b'isha achas u'shnei anashim. And now Bishamol says, no, one man and two women can do it. I'll worry about the laws of Yichud. So if you take a look at the top Tosos on Chavdala Amid Beis, we turn the page on the top of Chavdala Amid Beis. If you take a look at the top Tosos, he writes, Meforsh ben Maseches Kiddushin Alpha Gav De'in Ishve Ishechan Misyachin Imshe Nashim B'Shas Avelos the Tridei Sharei during Avelos, where everyone is preoccupied. It's, you know, as you write, correct, it's sad. It's, so therefore it would be permitted. It's interesting because remember the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says that there's a need to separate men and women in the base of Mikdash, right? The Tikkun Gadol. So one of the sources that there needs to be separation between men and women came from a funeral, a burial, where even then the men and women had to be separated. So it's interesting that over here the Gemara here in Moin Kan Chav Dalet does understand that contextually the laws of Yichud can be relaxed at a funeral, at a cemetery, and the Gemara Sukkah doesn't sound that way, but I'm just raising that as a thought. The Ein Om Dem Alav Bishura. Now again, we're talking about the burial of an infant who was buried, who died before he made it to 30 days of age. The Ein Om Dem Alav Bishura, and you don't have the two rows where they're going to comfort the mourners. And you don't say the birchas avelim, the nechama, the comfort. Now, what if the baby made it to 30 days of age? So, if the baby now made it to 30, and then God forbid the baby dies, so yotze bedulus kama, it's a type of coffin. Not a coffin that's carried on the shoulders, but carried by hand. And there is rows that are formed to comfort the mourners. And the bracha that you say in the street, right? Rashi over here quotes the Gemara Ksuvos. If you want to see more about the discussion of what bracha actually was said to the Aval in the street, Tanchumei Avelim, meaning, or the they sit shiva. They're going to sit shiva and accept comforters. Menachem ben yud beis chodesh yotze b'mita. And then if the baby makes it to 12 months of age, so in other words, the baby made it to his year, so the baby goes out in a quote unquote a regular coffin. Okay, I'm not totally clear in terms of what the halachic distinction is that we're making between a handheld coffin versus a regular coffin. Okay, but either way, the point is, however, is that then at that point in time, it's a quote-unquote a regular burial. Rabbi Kiva Amar, Hu ben Shana ve'evarv keben shtayim, Hu ben shtayim ve'evarv keben shana. Rabbi Kiva says, in order to be buried with in a regular coffin, so either he has to be physically looking like a two-year-old or actually being 2 years of age. Yotze b'mita. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar, a yotze b'mita rabbi matzivan alav, en a yotze b'mita in rabbi matzivan alav. If he goes out in a regular coffin, so the masses come and the masses are sad, and if he does not go in a regular coffin, so there's no requirement for the masses to come. Rav Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Nika l'Rabim, Rabim Misaskim Imo, Einar Nika l'Rabim, Ein Rabim Misaskim Imo. Rav Elazar ben Azariah gives a different parameter in terms of when it's going to be a public funeral. If people know the kid, recognize him, right, he's come to shul, he's, you know, people know who he is, so then the funeral is going to be a regular funeral attended by all. Otherwise, it should be a private funeral. Umahin behesped. So, and then the Gemara says, and what about the eulogy? Rabbi Meir, Bishem, Rabbi Shmuel, Omer, Aniyim b'nei Shalosh, Ashirim b'nei Chamesh. An interesting opinion by Rabbi Meir, who quotes Rabbi Shmuel, is that if the child was coming from a poor family. So then if the child dies at 3 years of age or older, so you eulogize. If the child's coming from a wealthy family, so then at 5 years of age or older, you eulogize. Younger than that, you don't eulogize. What's the difference between coming from a wealthy family from a poor family? Take a look at Rashi over here. It's fascinating. Rashi writes, so, Ani b'nei shalosh, lefisha ani mitzar abanav yoser, mina asher lefisha ein lo simcha acheres. So Rashi says that for the Ani, Ani doesn't have any material possessions. Nothing can replace the loss of a child. I would say that in general, but again, just understanding the Gemara, understanding why the Gemara is making distinction between the child of a wealthy person, child of a poor person. So the loss for the Ani is just a more intense loss, even at a younger age. Rabbi Yehuda Harman Mishma Ani b'nei chamesh Ashirim b'nei sheish u'b'nei zekinim k'b'nei aniyim. So Rabbi Yehuda gives a different shear. It's such an interesting machlokus, meaning it's like, you know, they're really arguing. They you know, each one is giving an objective number. And so he says, aniyim b'nei chamesh. Now, if the children of the poor, so then it's 5 years of age or older who are entitled to a eulogy. And if it's wealthy, so b'nei sheish. So they're 6 years of age. And b'nei zekenim k'b'nei aniyim. And also ben zekunim. So ben zekunim is treated like a ben ani. So that means that if the parents are particularly old, so that is going to be again a more intense, an intense avelus. Okay. Continuing. Amar Rav Gidol Bar Menashe, Amar Rav Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara concludes that the halacha is like the most recent position that we just recorded, which is that a eulogy, a child is entitled to a eulogy, five or 6 years of age, depending on if the family coming from a family of wealth or not wealth. Okay. Darsh Rav Anani Bar Sosona Pischa de Benisiel Yom Echel Ifnei Atzeres Ve'Atzeres Harei Kan Arba Asar. Okay, now the rest of the day we're going to do a little bit of accounting. Okay. I think, Ben, you asked the question earlier, what about Shloshim? Okay. Yontif is going to break the Avelis. Okay? That was the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah brought down a Machlokis, but the conclusion is Yontif is going to break Avelis. And when we say Yontif, we mean any Yontif, including Shavuos, including Rosh Hashanah, including Yom Kippur. No, that's a good question. No, Shmini Atzeres, no.
If Sukkot breaks Shiva, does Shmini Atzeres break Shiva?
No, but yes and no, meaning it won't, because Shmini Atzeres, even though it's a Yontif, but it's really connected to Sukkot, so it's still part. Right? In certain regards, right, it's confusing, admittedly. In certain regards, Shmini Atzeres is an independent Yontif, and in certain regards, it's still an extension and attachment to Sukkot.
There are all those distinctions, you know, for
yeah, correct. Six distinctions. Right. Correct.
So Shiva starts in the
Chol HaMoed? Shiva will not start in Chol HaMoed, meaning if someone buries on Chol HaMoed or on Yontif, yeah. Shiva only begins after.
No, but then there would be the days of contact, like what after the Shiva? Like 3 more days left or 2 more days left after
Shiva? No, in other words, no. If you start Shiva before Yontif, Yontif breaks it.
Right. But when would the Chol HaMoed?
And Chol HaMoed, when Shiva's over. If the burial was done on Yontif or on Chol HaMoed, so during those days of Chol HaMoed Yontif, there's a suspension, meaning Shiva will not start until after. What's the story during those days?
Yep.
And what about during the days of Yontif itself? Machlok is between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam's position is that there's a total abatement of Avelis. Meaning the Rambam's position is that nothing. Not Dvarim Shebefarasi, not Dvarim Shebetzina, nothing. And then the Ramban says, no, Dvarim Shebetzina are held during those days.
Okay. The person, during the Chol HaMoed, the person is not considered Onen?
No. In other words, no, they'll bury. Meaning...
The person, they don't bury like that.
Okay, that's a question you ask your up. But I'm just saying, but you... on Yontif and Chol HaMoed you bury, and then after the point of burial, I mean, there's again according to the Rambam a total abatement of avelus until after. According to the Rambam, you totally hit the pause button, and you only start on after. Okay, the discussion over here is Wait, you mean the, on this, on the Rambam Ramban? I'm pretty sure the Ramban, meaning Dvarim Shebitzin are held during those days.
Ramban.
I think so. I'm not. You know, I would have to double check it. I don't remember. It's been a while since I went through Hilchos Avilos, but okay. Our discussion right now from here until the end of the daf is going to be a discussion of Shloshim. Now, the discussion of Shloshim is basically as follows. Avilos is going to be canceled by Yontov. If you start Avilos before Yontov, Avilos is going to be canceled by Yontov. Now we know that if there's still Shloshim, meaning Shloshim is not going to be canceled. Now we also said, remember, that if you already started Shloshim and you finished Avilos before Yontov, and you're starting Shloshim, during Yontov will break the Shloshim. But now the issue is as follows. It's a very interesting Gemara. It's really an accounting discussion. If let's say you started Avilos right before Yontov, and then Yontov comes, let's say you observe the day of Avilos, and then Yontov comes. So Yontov is going to break the Avilos. Yontov will also affect your Shloshim as well. It will count our Shloshim. And here's how the math works. It's very interesting. Basically, you observed Avilos. Now, granted, it was only one day, but for our purposes, let's just say you observed Avilos. So that's how many? That's seven. Even though you only observed one day. But in terms of numbers, you did Avilos, so you observed seven. Furthermore, Yontov itself also counts as 7 days.
Even
Shavuos is going to count like 7 days. So that's now 14. Mm-hmm. So, in terms of accounting, if you observed 1 hour of Avilos before Shavuos, then you have only 2 weeks of Shloshim, more than 2 weeks, but 16 days of Shloshim that are remaining. Okay, that's the math. That's the accounting. The Gemara is going to spell all this out. Darish Rav Yitzchak Navcha Akila de Reish Galusa. Yom Echad Lefni Atzeres V'Atzeres Harei Kan Arba Asar. That gives you 14. Shamar Rav Sheish Zikbid Amar Atu Didehu the Rebbe Lazar Amar. Rebbe Oshiahi. So he was upset, but he wasn't upset over the statement. The statement was correct. He was upset over the attribution. In other words, that was Rebbe Elazar Amar Rebbe Yoshia. The Amar Rebbe Elazar Amar Rebbe Yoshia Minayin La'atzer Sheish La Teshlamim Kol Sheva. So first of all, Shavuos has Yimei Teshlamim. Shenema b'chag ha-matzus v'chag ha-shavuos v'chag ha-sukos. Ma'chag ha-matzus yesh la-tashlum im kol sheva. Av chag ha-shavuos yesh la-tashlum im kol sheva. Okay, fine. So in other words, it's the idea that Shavuos has tashlum and therefore Shavuos counts as seven. Adabir ha-papa l'rav av yasabah v'darish. Yom echal lefnei Rosh Hashanah v'Rosh Hashanah harei kan arba asar. We're going to say the same thing for Rosh Hashanah as well. In terms of this accounting, that also an avelos, right, a truncated avelos plus Rosh Hashanah is going to give you 14 days credited towards your Shloshim. Amar Avinu Elkach Yom Echad. Ostensibly the same.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
why didn't he say it?
7 days.
I don't know.
Does Yom Kippur give you 7 days? No.
I hear you.
No, because you have so many.
Right. Amar Avinu Elkach Yom Echad Lefnei Echad V'Chag V'Shmini Shelo Harei Kan Esrim V'Echad. And now we could say even a bigger Chiddush in terms of this accounting. If let's say you observe the day of Avilos before Sukkos, so now you have your Avilos, which is seven. You have Sukkos, which is seven. And you have Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is the Yontav in of itself vis-a-vis Karban. That'll give you another seven. That's 3 sevens. That's 21. Ravina equal Lesurah Depras. Amalei Rav Chaviva Misurah Depras Ravina. Amamar Yamechal Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Reikan Arba Asar. Amalei Anam Mistabrak Rav Megamel Hudamina. So he says logically that was said over in the name of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay. So, but basically, a discussion of accounting in terms of how we can reckon both Avilos and Yontov, and in some cases a double Yontov vis-a-vis Shloshim. So that means that in this scenario where a person set Avilos for 1 day before Sukkos, so that means that when after Yontov, meaning Avilos will end at Yontov, after Yontov he'll only be observing 9 days of Shloshim after when Yontov is over. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah.